This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a diverse array of topics in the Umpqua Valley. Oregon State Legislature, one of the things we follow and checking in with local lawmakers at a regular basis. State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate being here. And I really do appreciate the opportunity for me and Representative Osborne and others to really join KQAN and give an update on what's happening, not just in our local area, but how the impacts of decisions that are made in the legislature are going to affect our citizens. So I just want to give a shout out to you and your folks for allowing us to come on the radio as you do.
Well, a lot of people are always interested in hearing these conversations. Wanted to focus on what's ahead for the legislature in the sort of the near term. Governor calling for a special session of the legislature. And if I see my schedule correctly, it looks like it's tied to already scheduled legislative days. Talk about the reason for this.
So the majority party, the Democrats in the state, have failed to fund wildfire. You had a piece of legislation that was moving forward, proposed by Senator Steiner, who is now going to be our new state treasurer, that had support from across the industry, the timber industry and so forth. That legislation was killed by her own colleague in her Democrat caucus, Senator Jeff Golden from Ashland, because he wants to bring back the severance tax, which no one likes except for Jeff Golden, Senator Golden. And to that end, the Democrats that control the purse strings of the state did not fund wildfire. And we have vendors, we have wildfire fighters and loggers and others that have been fighting wildfire for this last year that need to be paid, and they need to be paid for before Christmas. And so that's a $218 million rebalance. And we had a situation where we needed to make sure that our caucuses met, discussed the situation, and decided that the special session was the way to go. Because if that special session, frankly, Kyle, and the truth is that if it didn't happen, the Democrats, members of the Democrats, majority wanted to sweep the spas. Well, sitting in one of those savings accounts is the $35 million that we were able to get for the Roseburg Veterans Home. And I made damn well sure that many members of my caucus and other legislators knew that we wouldn't stand for them sweeping money from away from the veterans and the e-board in order to try to pay for wildfire when the Democrats refused to fund it when the budget, when they should have. And so we forced literally a special session to save that $35 million.
So do you think this is going to be a fairly quick, just multi-hour session, or is this going to be a bit elongated?
No, this is going to be quick. We, part of the agreement with this special session that, frankly, the governor took credit for, and she didn't damn well do a thing about it. The legislature and our members were calling ourselves in, just like she took credit for stopping Boehm's offshore wind, which she didn't do anything about that either. but just took credit for it. We'll have an agreement. It's literally a one page, it's literally sideboards on a one piece of legislation so that we can fund the $218 million in wildfire cost. Those dollars are within the state. We have over $2 billion. It's not going to, by allocating these dollars, we've been assured it doesn't impact the kicker. It doesn't impact taxes. It doesn't impact our residents. These are literally reimbursement funds from the federal government. It just takes longer for the federal government and upwards of 3 years for these dollars to come through. And so it's necessary for us to go ahead and allocate, pay these vendors before Christmas, for goodness sakes, and make sure that their whole, many of them have taken loans out to pay for them to make their payroll. And so it is incumbent upon us to come together. It's going to be one bill. It's going to be a quick hearing with testimony in the Senate, quick hearing with testimony. And then we're already meeting for confirmation hearings in the Senate. We can take our vote, goes over the House, quick meeting. Well, actually, it'll be a joint committee, goes over the House, they convene, pass the bill, and we're good to go.
So as that is going on as part of the legislative days, so let's move that direction. Now, you are the Deputy Senate GOP leader. What's involved in what you're doing with that role? How does that give you more influence on the process, or at least on the GOP side of the process?
Well, I mean, I just kind of enlightened a little bit on that role in making sure that we were coming together for a special session rather than sweeping the savings accounts or the resources that we got applied to the Veterans Home and other projects throughout the state. These are the legislative days that we have where all the legislative concepts that we've been working on for future legislation for the 2025 session have to be delivered. We also work with our colleagues, and these are pre-session filed bills. We also will be working with our colleagues this week, and I'll be helped with our staff coordinating. You know, there'll be duplicated pieces of legislation, getting our other colleagues from the House to sign on to those pieces of legislation. There might be pieces of legislation that Representative Boyce and or Representative Osborne will want to run in the House as I drop them in the Senate. I found in my years of work as a member of the minority, especially as we move into the super minority, which we need to talk about as well, that we have better chances because you have a moving legislation. Because if it starts in the Senate, Chair Golden and the Senate Natural Resources Committee is not as friendly to Republican legislation as perhaps Representative Helm, who is the chair of Natural Resources and Everything Else Committee in the House. And so Virgil Osborne and Rep. Boyce sit on that committee, and so they have an opportunity to possibly get it through the House, which then has a better possibility to force Chair Golden in the Senate to have a hearing. So it's a bunch of work coordinating all of that, working with our colleagues, finding out what pieces of legislation we have collectively, and then, of course, supporting each other as we move forward. And then now that we know that have the lay of the land of the election, we'll be having meetings with leadership on what committees they would like to serve on, to go ahead and have that direction to the Senate president, who makes those decisions and so forth. So it's going to be a busy week.
Let's talk about that super minority aspect. You're not unfamiliar with that, but I know it's something you were really hoping wouldn't take place.
We were. I mean, we tried so hard. You know, we've talked about this before. It'd been nice to have the $200,000 that I spent in a primary against liars, but to correct their misinformation, that would have helped. But across the board, in both the House and the Senate, we had 500. We had roughly a 5%. Deficit, and it I don't know that we could have done anything different other than more resources to help those candidates. I mean, we're a purple state. It's evident we're a purple state. I just don't so we did finally, after all the numbers were said and done, we lost Stacey Kramer, Rep. Kramer, in her district. I'm sure Virgil is, or Rep. Osborne has spoken about it. But we are now. I was in the supermajority. I've been in this situation in 2019 after the 2018 elections when we used resources to stop a sales tax, and then the supermajority Democrats came in and passed the corporate activities tax, which I know we're going to talk about the governor's budget moving forward, which she wants to increase.
All right, we're going to take... Let's do a break here. We're going to come back with more. State Senator David Brock Smith with us. The interview, a podcast after 1, 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. To talk about the governor's budget proposal and what that might mean. And I know it's early looking at information out there. It's a 476-page document, which is, David, rather daunting to go over. And one of the aspects of it was really kind of a three areas, looking at the governor's release from yesterday, which said it would be building on progress, talked about homelessness issues, housing supply, and also children and youth services in particular. I know you haven't probably gotten any farther than that, looking at that, than most people have. But any initial thoughts about what the governor is proposing?
Well, I appreciate it, Kyle, and thank you. Yeah, we haven't dove into the governor's budget yet. We're going to do that next week. And staff is diving into it as we speak. But it's not building on progress. It's building on failed policies, literally. It's increasing $2 billion. If I remember right, a total of $39 billion in the budget, which over the last 13 years is almost triple what it was 13 to 15 years ago, the state's budget. Now, this is just state dollars. This isn't the federal pass-through dollars. When you total all the state's budget up, it's over $100 billion. But when it comes to the state's dollars, the amount of money that she wants to spend on homeless and is out of control. She wants to just double down on her failed housing policies when she talked about 36,000 units a year, and she didn't even make 18,000, 18 to 22,000. It's these failed policies that don't work. I do believe in working with her to correct these issues that we need to deal with regards to housing and homelessness, addictions treatment, child care. We need to deal with these issues, and the Republicans and my caucus in both the Senate and the Republicans in the House and Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce have answers working with our local governments to make sure that there are solutions that fit for everyone in the state and not just Portland, Eugene, Salem, Bend, and our metro areas. Because there's a very different situation happening in Port Orford than there is in Portland. And a lot of it has to do with land use, which we're working on legislation to address, because you can't just cookie cutter Oregon as one piece when you have such a diverse landscape and jurisdictions across it.
Yeah, I was looking at a release that came out just in the past half hour or so from your Senate leader, Daniel Bonham. One of his comments was that when it came to housing, He felt like this was too much focus on apartments, high density, high rises, et cetera, versus single family homes.
Agreed, and it's true, especially so when you have these urban metro areas that have the public services and public transit, high density works. But when you're looking at Roseburg and Douglas County, where do you put that high density housing? And frankly, the quality of life of the individuals that want to live in Senate District 1 and Coos and Curry counties don't want to live in high-density, high-rise apartment complexes. They want the opportunities to be able to build their housing on, you know, quarter-acre lots and so forth. And so I did see Leader Bonham's release, and I agree wholeheartedly with him. It's again, as I mentioned, we need the diversification and the ability to make sure that local jurisdictions have the opportunities and tools to create what they need and what they feel they need, working with their constituents and citizens. I mean, you and I have talked about the issues with the transit district, and I'm you know, still hoping that they will remain solvent and move forward. But you know, we have public transit issues in Curry and Coos and Douglas County with folks out that, you know, getting the services and the transportation they need out in Glide, out in Coquille and Middle Point, from Port Orford to services in Brookings and Coos Bay. So it's critically important that we have land use changes that will allow for the development that we need for housing in our rural communities so that they can grow. If Portland wants to stick, high-density apartments where they were in those populated communities, then let them do it. But we need to be able to give the local jurisdiction the tools to do what they need to do in their communities.
From the GOP side, especially with the super minority position and the House in a minority position as well, how do you try to get the Republican viewpoints on this budget to the table?
Well, this is where relationships matter, Kyle, because the Democrats don't need a vote for it. They can raise taxes without a Republican vote or support. This is where, you know, in the past legislative session in 23 and 24, every week I spend my weekends, 8 to 12 hours a weekend, going over every piece of legislation that is on the docket in every single committee for the coming week in both the House and the Senate, and then put together a list of what I call bills of concern and bills to support, to which then I send out to my Republican precinct committee people and the Oregon Republican Party, to the, where they then put it out to all of their PCPs within their jurisdiction in the district. It's never been done before, but I wanted the citizens to be able to know what's happening and engage in the legislative process. Now we call it the Oregon Legislative Information System, to where they can submit their testimony via you know, in writing and typing, or they can schedule themselves to testify virtually or be there in person. But that's a long way of saying it's more critical than ever moving forward into this 2025 session as in the super minority in both the House and the Senate, for our conservatives to work together and bring our values to the table and use the relationships that we've built with the Democrats to make sure that they understand what rural and what our communities and citizens need. And we were sent there to do the same job they are, and they need to understand it, because Oregon is purple. And
we're out of time. There's State Senator David Brock Smith. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.